Welcome to the program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and we're here with you every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We got Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman joining us after their game, a very interesting game yesterday. Our game of the week was Washington and Denver, and I know that the guys made a couple of comments that have gotten some traction today. One of them was made by Steve at the end of the game when Robert Griffin III was knocked out of the game on a particularly tough sack that he took. It wasn't dirty or anything. It just Griffin and both quarterbacks have been getting knocked around in the ball game quite a bit. And joining us now on our newsmaker line is Steve Bozell. And Bud, we'll want some of your comments, too.
Yeah, well, that was pretty brutal.
That's what I understand. Steve, so the game yesterday was a Denver win. And it was a game that, as you guys mentioned, both quarterbacks were being knocked around pretty good. Now, the NFL players over the last few weeks have been wearing these pink shoes and pink socks. Can you give us a background on that?
The pink socks and shoes, Phil, are as a result of the NFL support for the breast cancer awareness, and they've also had a ribbons and all this, and it's been quite a successful in terms of raising money and awareness on breast cancer, where we sort of ran afoul of it and had commentary that we did is the fact that the players on the field are wearing the pink shoes. Now, I don't have anything, there's nothing gonna, if you're a professional, you can play through it, but when you put pink shoes on a quarterback, and look what happened yesterday to Robert Griffin, you make him a target. It's simple as that.
Now, what do you mean, make him a target?
Well, I think what you're doing is, the players are going to say, okay, I got to wear pink because the deal, here's the deal. The league got done a thing with the breast cancer. And, okay, I got to do it. But when you're a quarterback, and Robert Griffin yesterday had on pink boots. Now, I don't know whether they have a choice.
When you say pink boots, are you talking about the football cleats were pink?
Yeah, the football cleats that he was wearing was pink. Some guys wore a pink sock. Some wore pink sleeves.
Are these the same? This is Margaret, Mr. Bozell. Are these the same kinds of shoes that football players usually wear, or are they different?
As far as I know, they're the same kind of shoes. They have the same kind of cleat. They have the same, they lace the same way. Some of them are, you may know, some of them are ankle high, some are not. But in this case, they're pink because...
Yes, that's the breast cancer awareness color. But I just wanted to know if there was anything about the shoes that inhibited his mobility or his ability to play the game.
As far as I know, no, there isn't.
All right, now when you say that wearing pink shoes makes him a target, give me this. The players don't resent him.
No, they don't. I don't think they resent him. I think they see him as, it's one thing to have a quarterback who is, well known for running the football, and Robert Griffin III is well known for running the football, just like Michael Vick was and a lot of quarterbacks down through the years. And so any defensive player, whether it's a linebacker or a defensive lineman, is going to, he's got that guy in his sights. He wants to stop that guy. One thing he doesn't want him to do is complete passes, okay? So you do want to get your sacks, you want to have that pass rush so that you can keep him from completing passes. But then the other thing that's even more important is if he's a running quarterback, you don't want him taking off on you, so you don't want to over-pursue or, and stuff like that.
What does over-pursue mean?
It means if you go,
I'll tell her. She's asking me.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it means if you're running at the quarterback and then he gets away.
Well, there's more to it than that.
Well, what? Okay, so what is there?
That's basically it.
Well, if you run past him, I guess you're right.
See?
Okay, fine. You're right.
Well, I'm still not clear. What does that mean?
It basically means this. It means if you rush a quarterback and you rush past him because you're going in opposite directions. The quarterback's moving forward, and you're running in the opposite way. You're going toward him. If you brush past him, if he steps forward and you miss him, she doesn't understand.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if I understand or not, but what you're saying, over-pursuing him means that you miss him.
Yeah, that means you miss him.
Yeah,
I'm going to do it, do I, Mr. Hendry?
Yeah, let Steve do it.
whenever. I mean, I was there, too.
Yeah, I know, but I'm the guest on the show.
Look at guys, let me call the shots here, okay? Go ahead, Steve.
All right, well, so what happens then, if you over-pursue, then he takes off running, and that's what a guy like Robert Griffin's going to do. That's what a guy like, you know, a lot of quarterbacks that run is going to do. So you're going to be really keyed in on a quarterback like that. Now you come into the game, you're keyed, you're hyped up, you're ready to go, you're ready to rock and roll, you want to do things that will stop this quarterback. It's the way it is for a defensive player. You want to hurt him, maybe. I don't know if you want to hurt him, but you want to stop him.
What does that mean, you want to hurt him? Do you want to injure him?
I think a lot of players wouldn't say so out loud, but they with a quarterback that'll hurt you that way, they won't come out there and maybe take a kneecap and just.
Well, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Margaret, we're not going to discuss I don't want to discuss the relative morality of football and the physicality of it. I mean, we could get into the same discussion with hockey. We're just talking now about a guy getting targeted specifically, as opposed to just another day at the office for some of these guys tackling quarterbacks. Now, the guy's got on pink boots.
Yeah, now he comes in, he's a guy that you want to stop. Now he's got pink shoes, so there's something, I think, in the heart and in the mind and in the soul and in the instinct of any football player or athlete, or just in a testosterone kind of fueled environment like football, when you see a guy walking out onto the field and he's got on a little booties, you feel offended. You feel as if it's personal.
What does that mean, personal?
Well, you know, why would he... I don't know, why was he...
He's got to wear it on account of the NFL and breast cancer. He doesn't do it on purpose.
Hey, Hickman, you know, you were there, man. Don't start asking questions like I'm all, like, messed up, because you agreed with me yesterday.
Did you agree with him yesterday?
Yeah, but now I want to make comments that are against him.
Why?
Why would you do that?
Because it's better, because I've got you and Margaret and Robert and stuff.
I'm not going to make no comments about him. I think he's making sense.
Why don't you just butt out, bud? You had an opinion yesterday that agreed with him. Now you're changing your opinion because it's more fun?
Well, it's more people here.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dickman. See, that's the whole thing about working with you. I know, as good as you are, the next day I'm going to get a spear in the back. See, and I don't mean anything racial by that, Robert, because I'm putting a spear in Dickman's hand.
Well, you put a spear in Dickman's hand, man, that's a lethal weapon. Tell you that.
I'm not going to spear you in the back. I'm a white man.
Yeah, well, he just put one in your hand.
Yeah, I put one in your hand. And you don't want to know something? That's what you're doing to me right now. You're sticking a spear in my back.
All right, forget about whether he's putting a spear in your back, okay? And, Bud, what is it with you with the white man thing, okay? Get the racial overtones to your commentary out of the discussion once and for all.
You ain't never going to do that, man. That's the way you are.
But what way? Oh, I said, he's the guy that said spear, so...
I did say spear, because it doesn't matter, white or black. You're the king spear. As far as I'm concerned, you're the king spear chucker.
That's, you know, I said that's offensive to a white guy.
Hey, look, would you shut up? By the way, speaking of that, when Kirk Cousins got picked off by Rogers Cromartie in the game yesterday, and it was a pick six, so he ran for the score, and the only guy that could reach him, or at least had the speed to catch him, was Kirk Cousins, and Rogers Cromartie was taunting him, you tweeted, and Cousins is a white man.
Yeah, you did.
Well, what does that mean?
I said that he...
You, tell me you didn't. You really didn't.
Why'd you do that?
All I'm saying is that Rogers Cromartie is black, and he started doing his dance as Cousins is working his hind end off to try to catch him, and Cousins might as well have just stayed home, because Rogers Cromartie could walk to the end zone faster than Kirk Cousins can run. And so I said, wow, you know, I mean, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't I what?
Cousins is white.
All right, hold on for a minute. See, this is...
Boy, who are these idiots that you have doing the game?
Never mind. We'll sort this out. We come back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. Has the National Football League basically put a target on these quarterbacks because this month they're wearing pink as a way of raising awareness for breast cancer? It's very, very important, absolutely, but by the same token... it being important, that is an important thing. But by the same token, they're pink shoes. And are there National Football League defensive players ready to just lower the boom on any guy wearing pink? World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Join us online at philhenryshow.com. We've got live streaming video of our show tonight and every single solitary night. 3 days left in our Halloween-y month, man. 3 days left to get a backstage pass and a free download with every BSP. So visit us there at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell. Steve does the play-by-play for our game of the week along with Bud Dickman. Yesterday it was the Redskins and the Denver Broncos. By the way, I guess we could talk about whether the Redskins, that whole thing with Braveheart is ain't going to happen, right?
That was discounted by the team over the weekend. There was a neighbor of Daniel Snyder's who had registered that name, but the man, simply a neighbor of Daniel Snyder's, doesn't know the man, wouldn't know him if he fell over him. Snyder made that very apparent, that this guy, whoever this neighbor was, Snyder wouldn't know this guy if he was on fire and came running to him and screaming for help.
He didn't say that.
Dude, what are you making all dramatic?
I'm just saying, Snyder said he didn't know him.
Okay, didn't say he wouldn't know him. He was on fire. Boy.
Can we get back to the point here, which is the pink boots?
Yeah, okay, the pink boots.
I want to know, the pink shoes, was this man Griffin targeted as the result of wearing those? Do you think he was?
I think he was, yes, I do. And at the end of the game, toward the end of the game, I should say, Robert Griffin was indeed sacked, in a particularly rough manner. He got taken and just bounced and pushed, and I can't describe it, but it was very, very...
Well, was it illegal? Was the player called for a penalty?
I think it was an unnecessary roughness call. It was one. I know there was an unnecessary roughness call on one of the Denver defenders on Robert Griffin during the afternoon. I don't know if that was it, but, they treated him with, as I said in the broadcast, great disrespect. And yeah.
Well, you have to treat him with respect. Oh, he is a rookie.
Well, no, he's not a rookie. He's just his second year, okay?
Well, I mean, but the respect thing has nothing to do with rookie or anything. Treat the guy within the rules of the game.
That's exactly right, Phil. They wanted to hurt him, and Denver come in and they took him and squished him.
They squished him. What does that mean?
I mean.
Because I think you need to be more accurate with your descriptions and not quite. See, I'm having a hard time. If you're saying that he was targeted because he was wearing pink shoes, and then you say he was squished, I'm wondering if your own fear and mental youth, the youthfulness of your mind.
Okay, is that another way of saying that my brain stopped when I was before I turned 10?
I don't think she's saying that.
Well, I'm not saying that specifically, but there are aspects of your brain that seem to have seized up at that age.
Why do you say that?
Because you said he got squished.
Well, that's pretty accurate.
I'm not going around talking about a guy getting squished every day. It's not like I'm... I think that's very unfair of you, Ms. Gray, because I almost called you Ms. Greeley. I don't know why, but...
Why would you call me Greeley?
I don't know. It just came to my mind, or greasy or something. Maybe it's because I'm feeling negatively, and I'm feeling very unfairly targeted.
Well, are you upset?
Are you upset, Steve?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, let's grow up a little bit, okay? We're talking about...
Oh, there you go again, okay? So she's saying I got a brain that seized up at the age of 9.
I'm saying emotionally and some aspects of your intellect seized... Forget it. I don't want to get you any more upset.
Okay, well, all right, so treat me like I'm...
Look, Steve, nobody is criticizing you, and no one's really criticizing you except when you said squished, okay?
Yeah, so what?
It's a weird word to use. If the guy comes in and roughly treats this quarterback, and it's a violation of the rules of football, you'd say that. You'd say he got squished. I mean, what happened?
Well, what do you want me to say? The guy picked him up.
You can say that he picked him up, he treated him very roughly, he manhandled him.
Well, that sounds,
That sounds sort of gay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say, but I'd rather say,
And squish doesn't sound effeminate, huh? Squish doesn't sound bad?
I think squish sounds better than manhandled.
How about this? How about saying that he was picked up and he was driven into the turf, the way a lot of broadcasters do?
Well, see, that's just it, Mr. Henry. I like to consider myself a little bit more of an original. And I like to think that I do things on an original way.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Oh, I see. And so seeing someone got squished, that's really going to grab the adult audience, huh?
You know, I'd hang up were it not for the fact that Mr. Henry has made a statement. If anybody hangs up, he's gonna have them fired from the show.
Yeah, that's right. I did make that statement. So let's move past all this squish talk and talk about the pink shoes. So your recommendation is that these pink shoes be eliminated from the National Football League.
I think that the sooner they get done with this Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the sooner we're going to have players that are not going to be limping off the field and otherwise being dragged off the field because there's an offensive player looking at a guy and saying, man, you know, he's wearing pink, and I know that he's supposed to wear pink because it's the breast cancer awareness, but I also feel that that's a statement at me, you see. And
that's a statement. So these defensive players, getting back to what you said earlier, are taking this personally. They're thinking that the pink shoes taunts them.
I think so, yeah.
Well, why would that be a taunt if they know they have to wear them?
I can't explain it. That's just the way the mind of a professional football player in the National Football League. You see a guy in pink, you're thinking, boy, that guy, you know, as we like to say here on the show, there, man, he wants $300 worth, you know.
Griffin, he didn't want $300 worth, I don't think.
Robert Griffin was out there wearing pink because the players are wearing pink. And I think that to say that it is putting players in danger, I think you have to come up with something more than just one guy getting hurt. I think you have to overall look statistically at the number of injuries since these pink shoes have been worn. And keep in mind, you're talking about one specific position. Are not running backs also targeted? What about a wide receiver?
Well, I tell you right now, Phil, I'd hate to be a wide receiver. And if you look at the wide receivers in the National Football League, I bet you money that you don't see a lot of them wearing all, like, pink shoes because you're just begging for it, Ben. And I'll bet you anything you don't see no pink socks or anything.
I'd be willing to bet you because I think you're wrong. I think I have seen wide receivers. But nonetheless, it gives a defensive back a little extra incentive, huh?
I think it does. And, you know, and it, this being a sports being a very superstitious kind of a pursuit, I don't think it's wrong to say that, you know, some guys will probably say that the pink shoes that makes their game worse or the pink socks makes their game worse. I mean, it's like the Redskin controversy that's going on right now. A lot of fans may say, well, maybe the Skins ought to change their name because they stink so bad. And they just the things that they do and the way that they are stinks so greatly that something's got to give, man. They got to do something to clean that stink up. And maybe a name change is what they need.
All right, well, then conversely, if the Redskins were winning lots of football games, people would be against them changing their name.
That is superstitious.
Yeah, absolutely. And they would be against it changing their name.
Yeah, well, why would they want to change the name when they win?
Because it's got nothing to do with anything, unless you're talking about a psychological edge of some kind. Good point there, Steve. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, I don't know how much more time we have, but you wanted to bring up it was a personal statement?
Yeah, I made a statement during the game, and I wanted to clarify it because I'm afraid that there's going to be people. During the game, I said they were able to jam it in lickety-split. I was talking about the Denver Broncos making a comeback in the game. And when I used the term jam it in, lickety-split, I got an email from a lady listening in Boulder, Colorado. Her name was Karen Nueve, who said that she resented me using the word spit and jam in because of, you know...
Oh, my God.
Because of what? I don't...
You can, you know, put some spit on it.
Yeah, I mean, spit on it and...
Oh, are you kidding me?
No, I mean... That's what she said, and...
So I don't blame her. You didn't really use it in that sense, did you?
No, I didn't use it in that sense. I said they jammed it in lickety-split talking about football. I didn't say anything...
All right, take it easy, Steve. No one's, you know...
Well, Margaret is.
No, she's not. No, are you saying that he did that on purpose as a sexual innuendo?
Well, why would you say lickety-split jammed it in?
I didn't say lickety-split. I said they jammed it in lickety-split. Actually, what I said is they worked it in. And that lady, and the lady said to me, that made it even worse. I responded to her. I said, I didn't say jammed it in. I said worked it in. She goes, well, that just made it worse. You know, and then she just figured, she didn't hang up on me because it was an email, but I felt like she just hanged it up on me.
All right, hold on for a second, Steve, because we do have to take a break. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. Steve Bozell is with us, calling yesterday's Denver-Washington game, ran into a whole bunch of controversy, not the least of which is the pink shoes that the players are wearing. One of them was Robert Griffin, the quarterback, who went out with an injury. And it was as a result of that injury, it was felt by Steve that perhaps these guys, these poor players are, you know, these poor players are out there having problems because they're wearing pink, you know, and they're being targeted. Now we got this email he got from some lady in Colorado. Don't say lickety split and jammed it in. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
That's ridiculous.
How do I know? And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show here every night. Till 10 o'clock here on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and enjoy thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archived great radio shows. The Phil Henry Show going back over a decade with all kinds of marvelousness, and also, of course, our current show, the podcast of our current show, our classic podcast. And we have some free stuff over there, too. The Bobby Dooley podcast, our YouTube channel. We have Phil Henry Radio and a bunch of stuff. It's worth it. And it's something you must have in the ever-changing and the ever-changing and ever-dynamic and ever-dangerous waters of modern-day radio. You simply must have the backstage pass. All right, Steve Bozell with us from Corona, California. And we'll just wrap up a little bit here, Steve, because we've got some other things we want to do, which is not, I'm not hurrying you off.
Yeah, you better say that because it gets his feelings hurt.
Don't get my feelings hurt, okay? And, you know, and I'll tell you something. I appreciate the opportunity to call the games on the PhilHenryShow.com. And, Dickman, you know, I can tell you that I'm grateful to have Dickman, but also I make him look good.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I make you look good.
No, you don't.
All right, hold on. Tell me about the email. I think we got to it, didn't we? The whole email with lickety-split.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm simply saying that lady in Boulder has got something wrong with her because I never said nothing about spit on it and you know.
Well, you said work it in, and I, as a woman, now let me just say this, as a woman, it is offensive, and I know you didn't mean it, Steve, but I wish you'd say something different, because as soon as we hear that, you, as a woman, you go, ow. You just instinctively say that.
You gotta be kidding.
Where do you... Excuse me, we're on the air right now. You're dismissing my comment, Phil, as if I'm some sort of hysterical female. I'm telling you the truth.
I'm not dismissing your comment. You said to me, though, you just now into the audience, you said when you hear that, you go, ow.
You do, because you're thinking about what he just said.
Ma'am, I mean, Margaret, I said...
I'm not a ma'am. Are you thinking of me as your mother?
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to be polite. I just said that, you know, I wasn't even thinking of sex.
See, that's the point. He was calling a football game.
Well, football is a euphemism for a lot of things in the male world that have a lot to do with things other than football, I think.
All right, so you said what?
I said they jammed it in or they worked it in. I said they worked it in lickety-split.
Yeah, see, listening to him say that right now, I just went, ouch, you know. It's instinctive, Phil. I'm not saying that he's doing it on purpose.
You just went, ouch.
Yes.
Did you feel pain?
Did you feel pain? I'm not going to answer questions like that.
All right, let me ask it in a nicer way. Are you telling me that you're having some physical sensation when you heard him say, lickety-split, they worked it in?
You know something? This is a vile discussion for a radio show.
Well, ma'am, I totally agree with you. I didn't...
And would you stop calling me ma'am?
Margaret... I agree with you. Steve agrees with you. I think everybody agrees. So why are you continuing to talk about it?
Because I don't think he's being honest when he says lickety-split, work it in, because even saying it to myself, I can feel, you know, it's like there's a...
What? Like it's there's splinters?
Yes, as if there's splinters.
Well, ma'am, if I meant something sexual by it, I'm not talking about a broom handle. Okay.
Well, I was thinking of... Excuse me.
Now where are you going?
I'm going to the bathroom. God! Where do you think I'd be going?
I don't know. After this discussion, maybe to get some... Well, I don't know.
Well, now, speaking of that, Phil, there's one other thing I wanted to bring up. We took a lot of heat for this. The Redskins got a kicker, but see, I didn't, you know, I didn't have...
Slow down.
I didn't ask for none of this, okay?
You talk about that kicker named Sav?
What's that?
You talk about the kicker named Sav?
Yeah, the Redskins got a kicker named Sav Rocco. And Bud and I both said, ha, 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 how do you like that? The guy's got a name like something you're up, that you wipe on something. You know?
Well, can I say something as I'm still in the toilet, Phil?
Go ahead.
I'm actually looking for Sav right now.
The kicker?
No, the kicker. The...
Okay, just, we'll talk in a minute. Would you go help her?
I don't need any help.
Go ahead, Steve.
So, she's looking for Sav, not the man.
No, she's looking for, you're talking about Sav as in, like, unguent or something, or
Yeah, like an antiseptic cream.
Yeah, we thought it was funny that the guy had a name like that. So I go, ha, ha, his name's Sav, yeah, and Bud goes, yeah, you know, what should we rub him on, you know, and ha, 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 and all that. And we got cards and letters and emails on that one, so, you know, I just came on here because I want to apologize.
Don't worry about it. I don't think you did anything wrong. I mean, it's a stupid comment, but that's, you know, it's going to happen. I mean, the guy's name is Sav. You're going to start making a big deal out of that.
Well, I just thought it was a funny name to have, you know. I don't know.
What did you guys say exactly?
We just said, hey, this guy's Sav. Hey, Sav, should we rub you on somebody and stuff like that?
Yeah, hey, Sav, you know, maybe we ought to rub you all over something. That kind of deal.
Oh, that's real funny. You guys really take your time with some of these lines, don't you?
Well, I mean, can you do better?
I probably wouldn't have even addressed it. And if I had, it would have been probably something better than, hey, Sav, you want me to rub you all over something? I don't know. All right, Steve, thanks very much. Sorry that you had those problems with the cards and the letters. Margaret, are you okay?
Yes, I am, thank you. I never wasn't okay. I went to use the bathroom. What did you think? You think I went in there to rub Sav on something?
You were talking about... You know, taking it sputtered.
I didn't talk about take...
Take it easy, all right? Let's take it that way. Thank you very much, Steve. So good to have another interview that ends with a guy all dissatisfied, going off, probably going to kill himself or something.
No, yeah, to kill himself, man. But that guy, you know, he caused most of his problems.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, he caused most of his problems by talking about Sav.
Steve Bozell, I agree with that. He does cause most of his problems. Although the problem with the worked it in lickety split, that wasn't his problem. But the Sav, yeah, I agree. You know, you guys just beat that into the ground, man, because I did hear that part of the broadcast. Every time that guy started kicking the ball, it was like, the guy's name is Sav.
Well, it was kind of funny, you know.
Yeah, okay, fine. It was funny like the first time. The second time, not so funny. Okay, Phil Hendry Show here, and great for you guys to join us. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. So that was cool. And then, of course, there was the ball game, the baseball game, which I'm talking about Game 3. Yeah, yesterday was everybody that watches these World Series games think that they're ending with such unusual plays. A pickoff throw at first is not an unusual play. And that's how the game ended on Sunday night. The game on Saturday night ended with an obstruction call, which then made the runner safe at home, which gave the St. Louis Cardinals the win and a 2-1 lead in the series. Now, I didn't think it was all that unusual.
What is it? Now, I know I was watching the game with Frank, and he tried to explain it to me, and he said that it was the worst call he'd ever seen an umpire make in the history of the sport. And I said, you know, and then he said, no, I'm only kidding. So I still don't...
Frank said, I'm only kidding.
Yes, he said it was actually a very good call. And then he laughed and took a sip of his drink. He thinks it's funny when...
When you don't understand the game?
Well, I don't think anybody understood that call.
Well, I mean, it was an obstruction at third base. And what basically happened was... The Red Sox had played a pretty decent bit of defensive baseball there. Yes, there was a toss into I guess it was left field down the line. Now, if they hadn't it obstructed that runner, then he would have been safe by a country mile. So, you know, I can't really say, I shouldn't say that there was decent defense being played. The throw to third base got away. That was what really screwed the old ball game. There's no way that that guy was not going to make it home. But, you know, they did have one out at home. Was pretty decent play in the field before that. But here's what happened. As that guy took off from third, he ran over top of the third baseman who had fallen down trying to catch that errant throw at third base. It wasn't intentional. Everyone knows that it wasn't intentional. The umpires knew that it wasn't intentional. But the rule says it doesn't have to be intentional. If there's obstruction, there's obstruction. It's an automatic advance. And in this case, he advances to home plate. That's the winning run. That's the end of that. And I'd never, quite frankly, I don't think I ever, I remember obstruction plays in the past. I remember all kinds of weird plays, man. I mean, I've seen all kinds of crazy-ass plays in baseball thanks to the wonderful instant replay camera. I remember a game, it was a World Series game, and it might even have been the Dodgers and Yankees. I remember when Reggie Jackson stuck his hip out to knock a throw away. There was a throw, I think, down to a bag that he was on, and he stuck his hip out to make the ball carom off his hip and into the outfield so that a runner could advance from another base. This was a huge controversy. Tommy Lasorda came barreling out of the dugout and was... Now, you figure if a guy can see a play like that from the dugout, if he can see a guy stick his hip out and actually try to get hit with a ball so that it carom someplace, then it's a pretty good bet that that's exactly what happened.
Well, what did they rule?
Yeah, they probably ruled that the guy was safe, right?
They did.
Yeah, because it's the Yankees. They never go against the New York Yankees. Not never.
What do you mean they never go against the Yankees?
Oh, well, the Yankees are royal to either baseball. I don't think they never go against. What are you talking about? Never go against the Yankees.
They didn't go against them that time, did they?
No, they didn't. It was more than just the Yankees. It was Reggie Jackson, you know, Mr. October. So...
So they're not supposed to rule against the Yankees? I don't understand.
No, it's not that at all. The Yankees are baseball royalty, so some people get in their minds that the Yankees, especially when they're playing at home, and I think this was a game at Yankee Stadium, you would never, make a ruling that would go against the Yankees. It's not quite like that in baseball. Basketball, sometimes you get that criticism of the officials. Football, maybe. I never hear that in baseball. If anything, home fans are generally just showering abuse on umpires. But the Yankees are baseball royalty, and so people do tend to think that way. But I've seen all kinds of plays. Man, I saw that play. We all remember the Buckner play. Going, that wasn't a controversial play. That was just bizarre. I've seen plays where they couldn't tell whether it was a home run or not. Man, they had to just go over and over and over again with the instant replay, and they're, I don't know, even with an instant replay slowed down to God knows, what speed, they can't figure it out, and they're trying to criticize an umpire for making a call? Then there's the fan interference calls that have happened. I mean, it's nuts, man. And it'll continue to be because, that's sports, and they don't use any instant replay in baseball. So there you go.
And what was this pickoff?
Well, there was a pickoff throw yesterday at the end of the game, basically from the mound.
Yeah, but what does it mean?
It means when the pitcher throws to a base, and picks a runner off.
What?
Yeah, what?
Look, I'm not going to sit here and explain baseball. There's a guy on base. You know how they dance around on base?
What?
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. It's the Phil Henry Show.
I don't quite get it, Phil. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I get that you don't get it. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com here, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back with more. When the guy picks somebody off...
I don't know.
What's that mean?
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, but that sucks.
What does?
Well, my friend Barry Louise, she's in some meetings in Washington, D.C. today. She got to be in some meetings with former President Clinton, and everybody's getting there. She works her ass off back there. She is a big, big supporter of McAuliffe, who is running for the governorship of Virginia. And there's a lot of people who are working hard, but she's one of the top people working for him. And then they had a visit from former President Clinton, and she didn't get to have her picture taken with him. There's all these people getting their pictures taken with him, including people who weren't in the meetings, but because she was in the meetings, there wasn't an opportunity to have her picture taken. So I think that sucks, man. Mr. Former President, you know, you got to stop down and get some pictures taken there with the people that are busting ass, man, not just people that are all, can I get my picture with you? You know, you got to stop down and...
Well, don't start talking like that, Phil. You're going to have people saying, yeah, if it was President Bush...
Well, I don't know. If it was President Bush, it'd probably be the same thing. It's got nothing to do with partisanship. You know, I'm sure that there are people saying, I know that President Bush would stop and have his picture taken with everybody. And the fact is, these guys just go and get their picture taken with whoever the hell tells them, you know, whoever it is they're supposed to. There's a guy there saying, go there, you do this, you do that. But I just know that she's worked her ass off, and she's had a couple of surgeries in the middle of all this. And, you know, I don't know why it pisses me off, but it does. It's bugging me. She says, I got the better deal. I got the... Oh, she said she got to talk to him one-on-one. Okay, that's good, doll. I'm glad to hear that.
So she actually sat down with President Clinton and did a one-on-one discussion with him?
Yes. And she said it was very, very a lot of fun. So there's... She said, that's the better deal. All right, I'm glad to hear that, you know. I hate it when people... See, she's the kind of person that is very, very low-key, you know. She's one of those people... Doesn't speak up for herself, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you're the kind of guy that goes to war for people like that, and you wind up being, you know, pushy, and everyone thinks you're an ass, and that person gets away with murder.
Yeah, they're all quiet and peaceful, and then you go to war for them, and everyone thinks you're a big ass, and they're still quiet and peaceful.
What do you mean everyone thinks I'm a big ass?
That's what you're saying.
I've always been, and I know there's a lot of people who are like me listening right now. I've always been for the underdog. That's always been my... I don't know why. I didn't make a decision to be for the underdog, but I've always been a guy that has pulled for the underdog. Anytime I see people getting pushed around, I automatically am on their side, you know. And I suppose it extends to just my friendships with people. I know a lot of people that I became friends with, not because I'm trying to, you know, that I think I'm good for them, but I just happen to like them because they're fighting a good fight. You know, I mean, they're out there and they're, you know, trying to stick their head above the fray and be noticed. And aren't we all, you know, a guy just passed on this weekend that some of you may be familiar with, some of you may not. His name was Lou Reed. Lou Reed was not, as he was described by one of the commentators, he was not one of the founders of rock and roll. He may very well be one of the founding fathers of modern rock or modern music, but it was very interesting to see the outpouring of love and affection for Lou Reed, because I saw that here was a guy who went through his entire career as a fringe player at best. He was not a mainstream artist. He was not a big concert hall artist. He was not played on the radio. That's the best place. If you want to go and visit the land of make-believe in rock and roll, go to the radio and listen to today. They're probably running Lou Reed tracks back-to-back on radio stations that never... ever would play a Lou Reed album. Now all of a sudden, oh, let's play a bunch of Lou Reed, you know? Let's play Sweet Jane, and let's play Walking the Wild Side, and let's play Sweet Jane, and let's play Walking the Wild Side. They only like know one song.
Well, what other song? I'm not familiar with them at all.
He did a lot of great songs, you know? Waiting for the Man. I mean, look, Lou and the band Velvet Underground was a group that was as identified with Andy Warhol as they were with the New York club scene at that time and making music. They sort of crossed the boundaries. They were a very original group of musicians, original thinkers. They didn't see any real limits to what they did in terms of the medium. And as such, they, you know, were very interesting to look at, to follow, to listen to not only just listen to their music, but see them as personalities, Lou Reed especially, who was a guy that was so, you know, he was such a mystery at times. People didn't even know what his sexual orientation was. Was he bisexual? Was he gay? Was he straight? Who is Lou Reed, you know? But the point that I'm trying to make here is that.
Yeah, because you're not making a very good point right now.
Yeah, no, same, Mr. Henry. You're like all over the board, you know.
All right, fine. Thank you for the critique. You know.
Yeah, get to some good stuff about him.
I'll get to some good stuff. He was a great musician, songwriter, and artist. The thing that I admired the most about him was that he was an original guy. And because he was an original guy, he was a fringe player, not a mainstream artist. He was an uncompromising artist, which means that he did not fit into the plans of record companies or concert promoters or clubs that wanted, you know, the big common denominator artist. He was a guy that just didn't do that and wouldn't do that. And he goes out with a lot of respect from his fans, and the people that didn't know him now all want to. You know.
Well, I saw there's a lot of people say, oh, Lou Reed. And when you ask them, well, what about him? And they don't really know. They just like to say the name.
Yeah, they want to pretend they were fans. And I think today you're seeing a lot of that. But he's my hero because he was an original guy and because he, like I said, he was an uncompromising artist and he worked on the fringes, you know, of the music business. All right. Let's take a break, man. All right, we'll be back next hour with a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, including R.C. Collins on a British man charged with hacking NASA and U.S. military computers. So we're going to be looking at that. Chris Brown has been released. He was charged with a felony. Now it's just a misdemeanor, and I think probably Frank Gray will be on with that one, too. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. We'll see you next hour. Woo! Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Frank Gray's going to be up here in a second to talk with us about Chris Brown. Chris Brown has been released after being charged with a misdemeanor on some falderall that he was involved in. We also have R.C. Collins on to talk about a British guy charged with hacking NASA and U.S. military computers. Chris Brown had a felony assault charge reduced to a misdemeanor in Washington, D.C. today before being released on his own recognizance.
No, recognizance.
I know.
You're fooling around.
Yeah, he's fooling around.
I asked Mr. Henry, because when you fool around like that, Phil, you've got young people out there that are going to talk. We've already got young people who speak as if they're the Molochs from the Time Machine. You know, one-eyed, just these cyclops. You know, these grunting cyclops. We don't need any more of that, you see.
Margaret, relax.
Yeah, when you talk about that one-eyed cyclops.
Well, I'm getting sick and tired. I've got a son that talks like a chattering imbecile, like a half-wit, like a soulless half-wit, is really what I'm going for.
God, that's pretty bad, pretty rude.
What's up with you, anyway?
What do you mean, what's up with me? I'm asking you to speak proper English so that my son doesn't speak like a soulless, excuse me, half-wit.
And you're real proud of those belches, aren't you?
Yes, I am, because as I said to you before, there are worse things in this world than someone trying to be healthy.
By just belching right out there on the air, it's just fantastic.
And there you are drawing attention to... Could you get my husband, please, on the phone?
I'll direct the show, if you don't mind. Get Frank Gray on the line. I think he's at Ted's of Beverly Hills. God... So anyway, Chris Brown had a felony assault charge reduced to a misdemeanor in a... I said recognizance. I said I was kidding, you know. Had a felony charge reduced to a misdemeanor and released on his own recognizance in Washington, D.C. Today, the singer did not enter a plea when he appeared before a judge at the D.C. Superior Court. Frank Gray is on the line with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Frank is an entertainment attorney. He's retired as an attorney and has mostly spent the last number of years as a... independent television producer. Frank, how you doing?
Hey, young man, I'm better than Custer.
Frank, what do you know about the Chris Brown story?
Well, only what the newspapers are saying. I know she got arrested. One of the things about Chris Brown you have to understand is she is a R&B singer, and she, you know...
Well, hold on for a minute. Put him on hold, please. Put him on hold, please.
What are you putting him on hold for?
Just hold on, Frank. I got to check. Would you put him on hold?
You can't have him on the air when you discuss this.
I know. Frank Gray, folks, has gender confusion as the result of a neurosyphilitic condition. Go ahead, take him off a hold. Take him off a hold, bud.
What?
Take him off a hold, man. How many times I got...
What's going on there anyway, okay? You're always saying put him on hold.
It's nothing. I had to check something.
You're always having to check something. What is it, your fly? Every time you have me on this cockamamie show of yours, you're always having to check something. You're talking to your Dickman, and she's always getting into some... I don't know what your problem is.
I got no problem. I just had... We had a equipment malfunction. Let me just ask you. So what do you know about Chris Brown? What was the assault charge? Can you give us some background?
Yeah, as I was saying, she got arrested. Her bodyguard, Chris Halsey, were arrested on Sunday. They had an altercation outside the W Hotel in Washington, D.C., and were arrested by the Washington Metropolitan Police. Now, they were both taken into custody. The victim was transported to an area hospital for her injuries, according to the police spokespeople. Now, this altercation started after this man attempted to, quote, photobomb a picture that Brown was taking with female fans. Photobombing. They misspell it. It says photoboning.
No, it's called photobombing, Frank. What are you saying?
I'm looking at the way it's spelled, woman. Okay?
What is your problem tonight?
I don't have a problem. I'm on the program, and I keep getting people saying, put her on hold. She's, you know, put her on hold because we got to check something.
Well, we did, Frank. No one's hiding anything from you.
Well, I don't believe that. Every time I'm on this cockamamie dopey show, someone says, oh, put her on hold. We got to check something. And then I come back, and the host says, oh, hey, Frank, how you doing? And then she starts talking to me.
Yeah, the host being me.
I know that. I'm just trying to get the... It says here, photobombing. What do you want me to say?
Well, it could be a misprint. It's called photobomb. You know that, right?
Yes, I know that. But it could have been some other thing when they said a photobomb. I don't know, all right? I'm trying to do what a man got to do. I'm sitting here at Ted's. I had a Caesar salad. I had a drink. I'm trying to relax, and now you people call me and try to ruin my night, okay?
I'm not trying to ruin your... Hey, Frank, if you want to go, you can go, man. I don't want to ruin your night.
It's okay.
What? I don't know what's up with you, but...
Nothing up with me than another drink. Hey, you. Give me another drink. Nothing up with me than another drink isn't going to cure.
And why aren't you a little bit more polite to some of the people there?
What?
Why aren't you more polite to the servers there? I heard you, hey, you.
I said to this guy... She walked by the table. I said to her, give me a drink. Isn't that what I... Where's Ted? Let me get Mr. Bell, please. I want to talk to her. Yeah, thank you. I said, as the young man walked by the table, and I said to her, give me a drink. So that's what she's doing.
Well, okay, and that's fine, Frank. I'm not going to...
Well, that's not what you said. You said, hey, you.
Margaret, please.
No, I didn't. If I said, hey, you, it's because somebody is... You know, I got to tell you something.
Look, at Frank, I don't want to make your day any worse than it's been, okay? If you want to go, you can go.
No, I don't want to go, but I'm just telling him to just back off of me, Margaret. I love you, and you're a great wife, but back off, okay? Just back way off.
What's going on today? Was there something you didn't tell me about what happened today? Was it the meeting with Fletcher?
Don't worry about it.
It was. It was the meeting with Fletcher.
Who's he?
He's a... You know, he can't let it go.
Are you talking about Fletcher?
No, I'm talking about my wife. He can't let it go.
I knew that was going to be a tough meeting. He's trying to get funding for a movie.
All right, let's not talk about it. Let's get back here to Chris Brown.
Right, that's who I want to talk about. Now, somebody photoboned a picture that she was in, all right, as a practical joke. That's what a photo, what's it called? Photobomb. That's what it's called. According to the victim's account to police, Brown told the man, I'm not down with that gay blankety blank. I think he said the S word. And then he said, I feel like boxing before punching her in the facial area with a closed fist. I don't understand the word. I'm reading this from a news. It says he and... Talking about Chris Brown, right?
Chris Brown and the fan.
Yeah, okay. Let me read it with the right gender. Brown told the man, I'm not down with that gay ass. And then he said to her, I feel like boxing before punching her in the facial area with a closed fist. Halsey then allegedly stepped in and punched the victim in the face before grabbing Brown by the arm and pulling her toward the tour bus, according to police report. The man suffered swelling and bruising to her nasal area, though it's been reported the man's nose was broken and may require surgery. There is a foul charge, blah, blah, blah. So there you have it. What do you think?
Well, I think that if a fan steps in and photobombs a photo and you don't want him to, then you say to the fan, wow, you really ruined that picture, and you take the picture again. I think physically assaulting the guy is I don't know how that gets reduced to a misdemeanor. How does that happen?
I'll tell you how it happens. Chris Brown's got a lawyer in Washington, D.C., who went to the judge and said to the judge, you understand, Judge, that Mr. Brown was probably reacting in defense of the bodyguard who was taking care of the problem, and then the fight started, and the fight was started by the fan. So I think that the attorney said to the judge, you know, I'm gonna fight this one because this is obviously a misdemeanor. There was harassment involved, and there was a defense of the photo bone, or not the front, the frontal. It's called a
photo bomb, man. Photo bomb, not photo bone.
You know what?
Well, you knew he was going to hang up.
Yeah, I know. He's in a bad mood.
He didn't get funding for the movie. This guy, Elroy Fletcher, was going to fund some documentary that Frank is doing on SEALs. And ostensibly it's about SEALs, but it's really about the coastline of Tasmania, where there have been a number of sightings of some sort of a sea creature. And they wouldn't give Frank permission to film there because he'd said originally that's what I want this documentary to be about, which is the Noxious. What are you looking at?
I'm just looking at you. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The Noxious is a legendary New Zealand sea serpent. You'd have never heard of that.
No.
Well, that's what Frank told the government, and they said no. He came back and he said, no, it's actually, I'm kidding, I actually want to do this about the seals down there. And they said, well, okay.
They must be idiots, or this is a joke, or...
Why are they idiots?
Well, the same guy comes back and says, oh, on second thought, I want to do it...
Well, he may not do it if he doesn't get the funding. This guy, Elroy Fletcher, who is a New Zealander and has great interest in the legendary Noxious, which is this New Zealand sea serpent, declined to fund the film because he said Frank is the wrong producer for this. He said that Frank is more of a Hollywood type of guy and is not going to treat it as an academic subject. So,
well, that could be true. I don't know. All right, we're going to be back here in a world famous...
Wait. What do you mean it could be true?
I don't know, Margaret. It could be. It maybe, you know, Frank is a Hollywood guy. We're going to be back here in a world famous Phil Henry Show with more The Noxious. What the hell is that, man? That sounds like something right out of the... I don't know. Anyway, world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. It sounds like something out of the Kraken or something like that.
The what?
The Kraken. All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Now, I have on the line, this is interesting. So Dr. Turner is at Ted's of Beverly Hills with sitting with Frank.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and let's just clarify here. I'm not looking to get into a problem, Margaret, with you or anybody about this movie. Ron Turner on the line. Ron, how are you?
Phil, doing great, and I am sitting here with Frank Gray. I was brought in as a consultant on the possibility that this film would be made, and we still hope very much so that it will be made.
I just want to say one thing, Phil. Understand that Elroy Fletcher is not the last individual who's going to for me to reach out to fund this. Elroy Fletcher, there are a lot of more fish in the sea than she and her production company. Elroy says, what? This is an important topic.
It's an important topic, Phil, and Frank is very serious about filming it.
All right. So this is a film about a legendary New Zealand sea creature?
That is correct. But much like the...
I'm sorry, Doctor.
I just wanted to grab the phone from Dr. Tarner and say that the creature is not unlike the Loch Ness Monster. Well, you were going to say that, weren't you?
I was. Let me do it. It is not unlike the Loch Ness Monster, which is known to generations of people on Earth as the legendary so-called sea serpent of the Loch Ness in Scotland. The Dachshund is a part of the legend of the seas around New Zealand. Now, I hope you don't think...
I'll do it. This is a part that I understand, Doctor. We brought down Melanie Couban. Do you know Melanie Couban, Phil?
I do not, no.
Well, he is a very, very beautiful and famous model and is looking to break into acting. Now, this is a documentary, so I don't want him acting, but I decided I'd put him on a raft out about 120 yards from shore because the noxion has been spotted here.
You're all done with Melanie Couban, huh?
What's that? Done. I wanted to tell Phil. Here, you do it.
I guess he's passing the phone to me when the science part is applicable, and then he takes the phone away from me, which, without asking, by the way, just grabs it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to grab it from you, Doctor, but if I have a thought, what do you want me to...
You could say that I have the phone, or you could...
Okay.
Anyway, Phil...
All right, so you have the phone, and you're talking now, but I understand there's going to be an actress there.
Yeah, this is an actress by the name of Melanie Couban. I've never met her.
You're talking about the actress. That's the thing. He's a young actress. He's beautiful. There's no question that Melanie there's no question that he's a gorgeous young lady, and he has the big, you know what?
Do you not want me to talk about Melanie Couban?
If you're going to talk about Melanie Couban, I do. That's my part.
All right. Well, I won't talk about Melanie Couban.
He's not going to be in the movie as an actor. He's going to be in the movie because he's gorgeous and because we want to put him out on a raft and as bait. Now, understand something, Phil. I would never endanger any member of my crews. The minute we have any indication that the noxion has arisen from the deep and it has broken the surface of the water, we are going to pull Melanie the hell out of there. Just to quote General George Marshall in the film Saving Private Ryan, you're going to get him the hell out of there. Well, we're going to get him the hell out of there, okay? And although in Saving Private Ryan, you're going to get her the hell out of there, although he said him. So that part confuses me. But we're going to get him out of there. This beautiful young woman is not going to be bait for the noxion.
Okay. All right. Now, Phil, that's good to know. The noxion...
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm not.
Wait, hey, Frank, would you let him have the phone? Just let Dr. Tarner have the phone.
Dr. Tarner can have the phone, but I don't want Dr. Tarner commenting on anything having to do with the...
So here's what I wanted to say. The Dachshund, Phil, is supposed to break the surface of the water in the middle of the night around 3 a.m. and feed and then dive to the deep. And that's where this young lady, Melanie Couban, will be on this raft.
And how long will she be out there?
How long will the actress be out there? Thank you.
Yeah, he'll be out there probably no more than a half an hour, right when the noxion, and if there is an attack, and I doubt it, because the minute a sea serpent comes out of the water, you're going to be Johnny on the spot, and we're going to get him the hell out of there.
When you say, Frank, that you're going to get him the hell out of there, what are you going to do? How are you going to do that?
Well, the raft is equipped with a long, very strong hemp line, and the minute we see the noxion break the surface, we pull the raft in, and we've got a good 7-8 very sturdy young men, and they will pull this raft in, and don't even worry about it.
Is that going to be fast enough?
Is what going to be fast enough?
If you see a sea serpent break the surface of the water with a young woman on a raft pulling the raft in from 150 yards out, That seems like that's a no-brainer for the sea serpent. If it's a hungry sea serpent, he can just swim and...
Well, wait, well, hold on. She can do what? What are you saying about the sea serpent? The sea serpent is... We're going to be pulling the raft away from the sea serpent.
How fast can this thing swim?
I haven't got any idea. Are you serious? They haven't even begun to do studies.
Well, then how do you know that you won't be pulling that raft in fast enough to get this young lady out of harm's way from this gigantic creature?
First of all, let me ask a question. Who said it was gigantic? Who said it was gigantic? Where are you getting that?
Phil, the Dachshund is not gigantic. It's only about a 3-foot-long eel. But it's legendary in that it can eat an entire raft. You see what I'm saying here?
Do you understand now, Henry? Boy, you really make some assumptions, don't you?
All right, hold on.
Are you kidding me?
What are you looking at me for?
That thing's only about 3 feet long, but I was going to eat a raft.
When he said a sea serpent and a monster, I thought it was
That's what I thought. It was gigantic. Let me get on the phone with Frank. I got to get some things straightened out with him.
Yeah, hold on.
Well, not right now. We're still on the air. But, I mean, the mic's open, okay? It's only about 3 feet long, but it can still eat rafts. Well, all right, so we'll straighten that one out. Frank Gray with us, Dr. Ron Tarner, talking about a legendary New Zealand sea serpent called the Nakshin, which they are attempting to film a documentary around. They've gained the approval of the New Zealand government. They'll be down there filming. They're taking with them a model, an actress, aspiring actress, who will sit on a raft out in the area where this thing feeds early morning, it sounds like. And as it's feeding, they are going to, they're going to, you know, in case it attacks the raft, they'll pull her in. I don't understand this at all, man.
They'll pull her in. Well, it sounds like they could pull it faster than a 3-foot-long eel can run.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. I don't know. So we'll be back with Frank Gray and Dr. Ron Tarner. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Bobby Dooley's podcast is available now on the Sideshow Network as well as at our website, philhenryshow.com. It is a free podcast, so go check it out. Bobby Dooley, and this Wednesday, she'll be in studio with the Sklar Brothers, Dana Gould. So look for them on future Bobby Dooley podcasts. Back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. So thanks very much, guys, for that update on the Nakshin. I don't really...
Well, it is interesting.
No, it's not interesting. It's not interesting at all. It sounds... It's the most screwed-up thing I've ever heard. It sounds like Frank's...
Yeah, he's getting nuttier as the day goes by.
Getting nuttier? Really, look who's talking.
You want that guy going down to New Zealand and filming a documentary on a 3-foot-long sea serpent?
It apparently eats entire rafts. Are you listening to what they're saying?
Okay, Margaret, do you believe in such things?
Well, why wouldn't I think of the possibility? Are you saying you don't think those things are possible?
I'm saying that we have more of an imagination than there are spooky and weird and unexplained things. I think the most unexplained thing of all is the human being inclination, the human race's need to have unexplained things. That's unexplainable. I mean, in a day and age when we ought to be able to explain everything, with rational thinking, and, you know, everybody that believes in this garbage, there's the one thing that pisses them off more than anything else is the rational thinker. They always make fun of the rational thinker. They're always mocking them. They're always saying, you just wait and see. You watch what happens. And it never happens because they're basing their belief in an emotional need, whereas people that are trying to think rationally are basing their thoughts in fact, in what has gone before, what is the percentage or likelihood of something happening, and you know, what does the universe support as far as we can tell. We don't base our belief, you know...
Well, oh, this we. So you're one of the rational thinkers?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. I'm at least one of the people that... Do I believe there's a Loch Ness Monster? The answer is no, I do not believe there is one.
What are you talking about, man? That's been around a long time.
Why don't you believe that, Mr. Henry?
Because they've gone and tried to find this thing I don't know how many different times. They've had sonar. They've had radar. They've had every kind of modern detection equipment.
Well, they did see a large mass.
Oh, give me a break. Yeah, they did see a large... They explained that could have been a school of fish. There wasn't any definable anything. One minute they saw a large mass, the next minute they didn't see it. What is this thing, invisible? Does it just disappear?
Well, it could be like a secret passageway.
Yeah, what about a secret passageway?
Yeah, that's it. There's a secret passageway between here and another dimension. Is that what we're talking about? They saw a large mass, and then they didn't. They could explain that a million different ways. It didn't look like a large, solid body moving through the water. They've never seen anything. They've never seen a thing. They've never did anything that supposedly has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. Anything that supposedly has been around, like that damn Bigfoot. There ain't no Bigfoot. Trust me on that, okay?
You can't say that, Phil. You're just saying that to piss off all the people that believe in Bigfoot.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't want to piss off people. Believe me. But I'm getting sick and tired of hearing people who believe in Bigfoot, people who believe in Loch Ness monsters, people who believe in all that garbage. I get sick and tired of hearing those people being given all of the... They get to have all of the say, man. They're the ones that get all the play. They're the ones that get all of the all the love. Everybody wants to, everyone wants to talk about those cats and what, and nobody wants to just bring this thing back down to Earth. Hey, there's no UFOs. There's no...
You can't say there's no UFOs. There is UFOs.
Yeah, UFOs, unexplained flying object.
But what about that?
Okay, fine. There are UFOs. And the UFOs, if they are unexplained flying objects, they're explained within about a half an hour to a day to 2 days to 3 days. They always explain them. There's always an explanation for them. It always has something to do with the planet Earth, man. It ain't got nothing to do with anything else. So, I'm sorry to have to rain on your parade.
And with just days to go before Halloween, what about ghosts? What about...
I'm sorry. You know why? Because I've studied the human race my whole life. One thing I know about people is that, and this is the thing that even humans can't figure out about themselves. We have a really strong connection to a few archetypes that go all the way back to the times that we were cave people. As advanced as we are, we still hearken back to the time when we were wandering around and we were scared of everything. We saw the sun and we saw the moon and we saw the stars and the wind, and we would erect these little statues and these little altars and try to pray to gods that we created to try to keep the horrible elements away from us, because everything just scared the hell out of us, We couldn't explain a damn thing. And that was a very, very pivotal and very trying and traumatic time for the human species as we were just sort of creeping and crawling along the face of this earth for tens of thousands, if not millions of years. We couldn't figure out what this is, what that is. And gradually we figured this stuff out. But that was such a profoundly, it's like birth. They say that birth is traumatic. Birth is a violent tearing into the world. I mean, we always talk about that. Well, so was the birth of the human species. It was a scary thing. It was a frightening thing. And there was sun, and there was moons, and we had all kinds of stuff we had to be afraid of. And gradually, slowly but surely, over tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, we gradually began to get a grip on what the hell it was we were looking at. We saw cycles and things. We saw that some certain things came around at the same time, and we saw that certain things happened if we did certain things a certain way. We began to figure things out,
Well, what? So we turn into cave people when we think about ghosts.
I just think those things are still, as I say, they're archetypes. They sit in the very oldest part of our brains, and they're ready to sort of just come flashing out at times. And one of them is ghosts, spirits, spooky stuff. I mean, we believe in it. Even when we are rational people, we believe that things like guns... I don't want to have it in the house. You ever hear people say that about a gun? I don't want it in the house. Why? Because it's going to somehow do something to us.
Well, now, wait just a bit. Now you're saying the people that are anti-gun... I won't have you doing that, Phil.
Wait a minute. I'll do whatever I want to do. I'm just making a point here. Don't we say that about guns? We go, ooh, I don't want that in the house.
Yeah, a lot of people say about a gun, like, it's like an evil spirit or something.
What are you talking about, man?
You never heard that.
I hear it all the time. People say, I don't want that. I don't want it in the house. And don't give me this bull crap about, well, they're afraid a kid's going to get to it. No, that's not it. That's not it. Guaranteed. What that is they're afraid the vibes on that thing will somehow come and get them. I'm telling you.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not. You know it isn't. People don't want to have a gun in the house because they're afraid the vibes on that sucker, man, is going to, woo! You know, is going to reach out and grab them. And we're like that way with a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff, you know? And I think the same thing is at work with Obama. I'm telling you right now, there's a throwback brain that's at work where we can't get out of our own way. Especially white people, as a black guy is president. And as forward-thinking as we want to be, as rational as we want to be, some people just give full vent to it, and they, well, there's something wrong. I mean, there's no other explanation for people that keep on with this Kenyan thing. I mean, that has gone beyond intelligent. It's gone beyond. There's no rational explanation. There's no rational reason why anybody would think that Obama's from Kenya. Anybody that thinks he is a mental defect. Either they've got a psychiatric problem, or they have a very low level of intelligence. But there's no other explanation. If you really believe that Obama's from Kenya, you either need a psychiatrist, which means there's a neurotic or psychotic problem going on, or you just have an IQ that's very low. Okay? But those are the people that are sort of at the tip of the spear, if you'll pardon the use of the word spear.
Yeah, see? Even you did it when you say spear.
Yeah, well, you ain't saying spear chucker.
Take it easy, will you? So those are the people, but there are other people that sort of tend in that direction. They want to believe it because it's just, I think, it's part of tribal thought, the separation of the tribes, you know. So I don't believe in ghosts, and I don't believe in any of that crap, you know.
And you don't believe that in saying you don't believe that you will invite the taunting of the supernatural beings and so forth.
No, I don't.
Would you spend a night in a haunted house?
Yeah, I'd spend a night in a haunted house, and I would be, this is what I would be thinking. There's going to be somebody going to try to scare me. There's going to be some people out there.
Yes, you believe in a ghost.
No, I don't believe in ghosts. No, I don't.
Well, who's going to try and scare you?
The guy that invited, anybody that's going to invite me to spend a night in a haunted house wants to scare the hell out of me. He wants to scare me into believing in ghosts. So what's he going to do? He's going to hire a bunch of people to try and scare me.
Well, what would you do then?
I'd be, you know, be waiting for it. Some kind of, you know, whatever. Somebody jumping out of the dark. I mean, that's the only way that's going to happen, you know. So, thank you very much. That was a very interesting conversation.
No, I think that you are being very...
Margaret, yeah, Halloween is a blast. I love it. It's great. It's fantastic. I don't believe in those things. I think they're the product of a primitive brain, the human experience in times gone way back when we were scared to death of everything and we had to invent all kinds of things to explain all kinds of things. And we still do it. We still do it. We're still inventing supernatural creatures. These UFOs, this has gone beyond science. Now it's a religion. Same thing with everything else. So...
You know, I like how you just go, I love how you just blow it off, dismiss it. God, I hope... You know, there are times, Phil, when I want creatures to exist like vampires. How hard would I laugh if I found out that you were found one morning with two puncture wounds in your throat? Not dead. I don't want you to be dead.
Oh, just with a great loss of blood?
No. Not a great loss, but just so I could laugh at the news that you were found with puncture wounds in your neck.
Yeah, what if he is dead to become an undead?
Would you get a grip?
Well, that's what it's supposed to be. If they find me with two puncture wounds, you better hope that I'm alive so that I don't come back as a vampire.
I didn't say that. I said I would want you close to death, but not dead. Never mind.
You laugh if Mr. Henry became a vampire?
No, I wouldn't laugh if he became a...
You'd be scared if I became a vampire.
How about this? I will laugh myself... I'll laugh so hard I'll lose control of my bowels if I ever find out that you got haunted by some old lady, an invisible old lady that just scared the...
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on the house I'm staying in, I'll tell you that much. My house right now is down at the beach. I don't think there's... They got to tell you if there's been a murder committed before they sell it to you.
Yeah, what about that? The guy got killed in your house.
I mean, that's possible, but by law, they got to tell you if anybody's been killed.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people
Would you buy a house if you knew that a whole family had been slaughtered by their father, butchered up into small, tiny, bite-sized nuggets?
Yeah, what about that? They got slaughtered up in the top.
I heard her the first time. If it was what I was looking for, yeah.
What, man? You gotta be kidding me, Mr. Adams. No way.
If it was what I was... If the price was right, why would I say no? Why would I say no?
My God.
No, come, give me a break. What's gonna happen? Are they gonna haunt me?
What about the Amityville Horror?
Yeah, what about that, when the guy got all slaughtered up and everything like that?
I don't know about the Amityville Horror, man. I don't know if any of that stuff... I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's made up. I don't know if it's somebody that saw something and then other people picked up on it and made it bigger by making stuff up. I have nothing. I have no idea about the Amityville... I read about the murders. I know what happened in the house.
What happened?
Well, I mean, a guy killed his whole family in the house. Hold on, I got to take a break here. World-famous Phil Henry Show. I want to read a little bit more about Lou Reed. Lou Reed remembered, there's an article here how he supported a strike by the New York Daily News and other interesting news. Also, Penn State to pay nearly $60 million to 26 abuse victims, and we still have R.C. Collins up with the British man charged with hacking NASA and U.S. military computers. He's, he's still up and coming here, folks. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Back in just a sec. World famous Phil Henry Show, and Matt asked me a very good question. He's going to play any Nirvana tonight as well. I mean, I hadn't thought of it, but as we go out tonight, we usually do when someone has passed on in the music world who we admired. Alvin Lee was the last, I think.
Yes, Alvin Lee was the last musician that died that you respected enough to play their music. I'm sure there've been a great many, Phil, but you haven't had. You know,
I haven't had what?
You haven't had the common decency.
Yeah.
To acknowledge it.
Oh, give me a break. I'm supposed to... Get out of here, Margaret.
Well, I mean, what is this? You know?
It's... This is about me. The show is about... This is a Phil Henry show, so it's going to be about me. And if people dig it, that's great. I'm glad to have you. If they don't, I'm sorry, but, you know...
And it doesn't bother you that... Do you know that who died recently was... didn't one of the Beatles die or something?
Oh, you're really on top of things.
Well, I don't know, Phil.
In any event. Okay, cool. That is, that's something for the end of the show. Now, Danny Cardo is a longtime New York freelance journalist, and Danny's on the line with us here in New York. I want to talk a little bit about Lou Reed being the supporter that he was of the rights of workers. I guess Lou was, in his way, Danny, one of those lefties, huh, that people talk about, those left-wing musicians, huh?
It struck me the other day, Phil, I was reading about Lou, the day that he died, thought about him being a stereotype for so much of the New York music scene, which was and still remains a very unique music scene, and that the musicians in New York are more politically motivated, probably more politically active, I think, than most of the musicians across the country. And I think New York musicians tend to be a little bit more intelligent that way. And I think with Lou, it was very definitely the case, because Lou was a man that was a citizen of the world. You know, he not only was a musician, he kind of cared about people so much. People say he hated critics. Well, I think he didn't hate critics so much. He just hated the pursuit of being a critic. The idea of criticism to him was inherently destructive, because it was never really about how good things could be. It was always about how bad things could be.
So when did Lou play this? He played a benefit.
Yeah, Lou played a benefit in 1991. It was for the New York Daily News workers who'd been out on strike, and Lou was part of a concert that raised money for these striking workers, and there'd been lots of shows, and lots of benefits for a lot of workers across the country. I don't think anybody had ever thought of doing one for the New York Daily News writers or New York Daily News workers, but Lou was there. And he not only agreed to be the headliner, he helped them find a good venue for the event, and it turned out to be quite a hip place. It was a club known as The Building.
What was the club's name?
The club was called The Building, and it was then in a place called the Flower District in the West 20s in New York City. And, getting Lou as a headliner, I think, for that group helped them draw other talent. They got the Roaches come in, and Pete Seeger came in, and Q-Tip, Tribe Called Quest. It was quite a show, and on the day
great event, Lou. He showed up. He was not a star. He didn't require any special handling. You know, he didn't have no... nobody was needed to, get Mr. Mr. Reed
his... His strained tangerine juice?
Yeah, you know, stuff like that, you know. And he also played more songs than was originally agreed on, Phil. Lou was only supposed to play a set, I think, of maybe a half hour, and he went a lot longer than that. He played... Walk on the Wild Side, plus songs from his New York album, which showed his great love for the city. And it was a great night. They packed the house, even drew the Mayor Dinkins at that time. And he was just, he said to the writers later, he said, "You don't have to write nice things about my albums just because I did this concert. You don't have to write nice things about Lou Reed." And I think that's what a lot of people thought. Maybe they would have said, "Okay, look, I did your benefit, and why don't you write some nice things about me?"
Oh, I see. So there was a cynical view that Lou is doing this so he'll get better reviews.
Yeah, I think that's the way a lot of people might have thought at the Daily News. A couple people, but no, that wasn't the case. In fact, Lou made that very clear. He said, "I don't want anybody to think I'm looking for favors. You keep right on trashing my albums if you want to." You know, but, I think he was a great musician. I think he was a great man. And, I personally loved his music very much, and I'm sorry to see him go. And the other thing now, just like you said earlier, I've got all these people that are now fans of Lou Reed, you know, he probably damn never even heard of the guy, but he looked good. You know, he had on sunglasses and a freaky-looking hair and a weird-looking guy, you know. I mean, he's a weird-looking guy. But he's always very, very straight up. And
did you know him?
No, I never met him. But
what did you think of his music?
Well, I didn't like his music too much, but I liked him. I thought he was a great man, and his music to me was weird. You know, heroin and cross dressing. I didn't get it. But I would have loved to have seen him as a baseball player, playing football, or running for mayor, or a chef. You know, I could have identified with him. His music, though, I couldn't stand it. But
Well, hold on. A minute ago, you just told me he's doing this benefit concert, right?
Well, he did do the benefit concert.
All right, and didn't you say you liked his music?
No, I said a lot of people thought he was a great musician. No, I couldn't stand his music, but that's not the point. The point is, I thought he was a great guy, and I wished he would have done something else for a living so that I could have been more of a friend of his instead of, like, if he'd been. I don't know, if he just did things like sold flowers on the corner, I could have hung out with him more than I did. I can't, you know, the music he made was...
So you like Lou Reed, but not for his music?
Yeah, that's...
All right, Danny, thanks a lot.
I know that sounds weird, you know.
Yeah, it sounds weird. I got to get going, man. I got to, I don't know what I got to do, but I got to get out of here. All right, so great. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show. We have Steve Bozell's going to come back and visit with us a little bit more about the controversy from the game on Sunday. We have R.C. Collins on The British Man. The guy doesn't like Lou Reed's music, but he likes him.
Yeah, the kind of freak you get on his show.
Yeah, and you too, bud. World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. This hour we have a return visit here with Steve Bozell for just a few seconds to talk with us about the game yesterday and the wearing of pink shoes by quarterbacks in the NFL, and does that pose a risk to them as far as being targeted by defensive players? You're wearing pink shoes, maybe they want to give you an extra hit of some kind that could cause some injury. R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy, though, is joining us now. And the story is that there was a British man who has been charged with hacking NASA and U.S. military computers. He was arrested in England over the weekend, I believe, and along with some other people, has been charged with conspiracy to access a U.S. department or agency computer without authorization. And charged with one count of that and one count of conspiracy, meaning that there's more than one person. R.C., how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, Mr. Henry. This is a very important case, I'm sure you understand.
All right, now you're at a military academy. Tell people listening right now why this is of interest to you.
Well, this is this has become a very interesting area for me and other cadets here, because the war against terror and the war against people that is, you know, are going to be against America is changing. It used to be that it was about the terrorists, but now that bin Laden was killed by the SEAL team, now it's a different war. Now we got to look into other areas where they're going to be, because right now it doesn't look very promising. I don't think that any of us is going to get into any of the, you know, the real shooting matches that was, you know, characterized the early parts of the war.
Well, I mean, you sound like you're a little disappointed in that, are you?
Well, you know, forgive me for being a little blunt, but I mean, that should be obvious. I mean, I'm in a military academy.
No, I know, I know that, and obviously it's what you train for, which is combat. But you don't want to get into a war. I mean, you want to neutralize the enemy of this country any way you can, right?
Well, I mean, I would prefer to be in uniform and taking up arms against the enemy of the United States of America. That's what I prefer to do. I mean, there's a lot of guys might want to do a lot of things, but, you know, Patrick Henry, one of the great Americans early on, said, you know, I don't know about, I mean, I don't know how he said it exactly. Watson, is Cadet Watson's here, he knows about it, you know? Yeah, Cadet Watson says that, you know, Patrick Henry...
No, wait, who is Cadet Watson?
We're here.
Well, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
And what was it that Patrick Henry said?
He said, I know not what others choose, but...
I know not what others are going to choose.
I know not what others choose.
I know not what others will choose, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
I think there's more, but...
Well, I mean, if there's more, then I doubt it, because Watson's pretty good.
Well, yeah, okay, but he didn't have all of it.
Well, he would have, but I think he's probably just being nice to you, right?
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot, Watson. So, yeah, I know not what other men choose.
Yeah, I know not what other men choose, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Well, it's the same thing with taking up arms against the enemy of the United... Hey, you guys turn that down. Deacon, turn it down, will you? I know not what others choose, but give me liberty or give me death. Well, what I say is I know not what others choose, but as for me, I'd rather take up arms... Hold on. You guys got to turn it down, okay? Because I'm on the radio right now. Yeah. What station are you on in the Alhambra area, in the Aladena area, Mr. Henry?
Just have them listen online, okay?
You can listen online. You can listen online. What? Well, I don't know when it's over.
Hey, RC, we're going to have to...
I'm sorry. So, Patrick Henry said, I know not now what others are going to choose, but B, I would choose death,
He said, I know not now what others choose, but as for me...
I know not now what another would choose, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Well, by the same token, Mr. Henry,
I know not now what others may choose.
I know not now what others may choose, but as for me, I'd rather go to war against the enemies of this country than be on a computer and, you know, doing it that way, but... Since I don't really have that choice that's been taken away from me, then I would go and find these people that are hacking into our Defense Department.
Okay, now the guy that got arrested here is a British man charged with hacking into U.S. government computers and stealing personal data?
Yeah, the guy's name is Lori Love. That's a guy, and that's what they name their kids over there. I mean, at least there is one guy name that's Lori, and that's this guy's name. And he was arrested on Friday at his home in Stradstall, England. And he's been charged with conspiracy and accessing a U.S. Department computer. Now, this guy apparently, with other unnamed conspirators, two of them living in Australia, planted malware on government computers and stole the names of people that are working there and their personal information. And when I heard about that, it really made me mad because they're probably going to take that personal information and get credit cards and stuff and a lot of stuff. So I'd recommend that anybody that works at the U.S. Department of whatever it was, that they...
Yeah, what departments were compromised?
Well, there's the Missile Defense Agency and NASA, just the U.S. military.
So anybody working for the military or NASA should change all their credit cards, just...
Yeah, I mean, they should change... It's serious enough that I would consider, if I were them, to change your name,
Change your name?
Well, they've got your information, and they've got your credit cards. They've also... They know where you live, so... It would probably be good, yeah? Watson says to move, to sell your house, and just move.
Well, wait, hold on for a minute. Yeah, now, that's a big thing for people to do.
Yeah, I know that, but they've got their credit, they got the information, it was stolen.
I understand that, but you're asking people to change their name, move. Getting new credit cards, I understand. I certainly understand that entirely. You can go online and get all of your addresses changed. Or eliminated.
Yeah, but these guys already know, and they got 4,000. They got 4,000 names. So the first thing you've got to do is change your name.
Well, what do you think they're going to do if they had, for instance, your name, R.C. Collins?
Well, I'm not worried about me, Mr. Henry. I understand anybody that tries to come after me, especially some computer hacker from England. That's not going to be a problem at all.
That guy's not going to be the one that would come after you. And when you say come after you, what do you mean?
Well, if they came after me physically, or if they even tried to take... I don't have no credit cards or anything. Well, not now. And where I live is at a military academy, so they would have a pretty tough time dealing with me. And if they tried to come after me physically, I would definitely mess up their day. Don't worry about that at all.
All right. So let's say somebody else. Let's say me. Let's say they got my name and got my credit cards and got my... address, everything.
I would, if I were you, Mr. Henry, change your name, move, and get new credit cards.
And I'm going to change my name and move. Now, I've invested years and years and years in the name Phil Henry. This has become a trademark. This name, The Phil Henry Show, this is a trademark of mine. And you want me to change my name?
Well, I would change it to something that is similar. You would have to change it to something that will not confuse your audience and people will still find your radio show, but will not be the name Phil Henry if they compromised and got your credit card.
Change it to something, meaning what?
Well, change it to Phil, like what? Like Philbert? I know it sounds lame, but...
No, I'm not going to change my name to Philbert. Besides, that's almost the same as Phil.
Well, you'd have to, you don't want it to be, what's the same as Phil Henry?
Phil Henry?
What about here, Bill Henry? Like a lot of people call you that anyway, right?
A lot of people that don't hear too good, man. But for me to change my name to Bill Henry would screw up a lot of people who know the show.
Yeah, but a lot of people call you Bill Henry. You could say, hi, this is Bill Henry. I used to be Phil Henry, but I'm Bill Henry. But yeah, I am Phil Henry.
And how is that going to confuse the people that have my name?
Well, what about that? What? Watson says they're not that smart. And
Hold on for a minute, R.C. Something tells me I ain't taking my advice from him.
Well, that's ridiculous. You're taking your advice from some kid at a high school.
Is that a military academy?
I don't care where he is.
Yeah.
Hold on. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Talking to R.C. Collins here about the compromising of the security, really, is what we're talking about, of a bunch of people who work for the Missile Defense Agency, NASA, and other places, and found themselves with credit cards that were not just credit cards, personal information that was compromised by these hackers. The world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and R.C. Collins, along with Cadet Watson and others from Bradley Military Academy, on the line with us as we talk about a British man charged with hacking NASA and U.S. military computers. So far, you guys have told me that if any one of us were to be victimized by these jackasses, In other words, these people obtained the personal information of some 4,000 employees of either NASA or the Missile Defense Agency, a number of places, U.S. Department of Defense's Missile Defense Agency, the U.S. Army's Network Enterprise Technology Command, Environmental Protection Agency, a bunch of places. You're saying change your name, move, and get new credit cards.
I mean, Mr. Avery, you asked me what the most effective way of defending yourself against. I mean, if it's up for me, if they want me to do something, I go find these guys, and I basically sit them down in a room, and I say, you know, here's the story. You're going to give us the names of everybody, what you hacked, and you're going to do it in the next, hour or 2 hours, or you're going to show us to the computer or computers that you use to get these names, or there's going to be this could be a very messy room. The room that you're in right now, it's going to be very messy, very slippery, and pretty much have the tone of red about it. And
okay, so you would beat them and torture them and everything else, but how does that help me, the guy whose name got compromised? I mean, you're telling me to change my name?
Well, we fed this into a computer that we have set up, Mr. Andy, for alternate identities, alternate names. So the people, if they're going to change their name because they got compromised by the guys what hacked it, that they get a name that is similar to, or one that is going to resonate in the mind is similar to. We mentioned Phil Henry, Bill Henry. There's also names that are unusual but work perfectly and would resonate with your listener. One of them is Barbara Landon. Another one is Martha Trial.
Wait. Are these names for me?
Are they for Phil Henry? Yes, they are.
Wait. Barbara Landon.
Yes, sir. No, it's unusual.
Well, that's a female name, R.C.
Yeah, I know. Yes, ma'am, it is. But they're names that when people hear them, they'll think, oh, yeah, Phil Henry.
Wait, how am I supposed to know that that's a fact?
Well, it's part of the computer program that we use.
You're saying that if Phil changed his name to Martha Ivers, is that the name, or what was it?
Well, Barbara Landon was one of them.
Barbara Landon, that's it. That people will think Phil Henry.
They should, yeah.
Well, I'm not changing my name to...
You change the name to Barbara Landon, man, you'd have to get like you'd have to get a vagina installed.
Yeah!
What do you mean I'd have to get a vagina installed?
I don't have to listen to this.
Margaret, don't leave, please.
That is absolutely vulgar.
I'm not trying to be vulgar. Wouldn't you have to...
You'd have to get one installed.
No, you wouldn't have to get a vagina installed.
Wait, would you guys watch it with the language, okay? What is that? What is that about, man? Having to get one installed. Look it, if I had my name changed to Barbara Landon, if I absolutely had to change my name to Barbara Landon, believe me, I wouldn't get a sex change. I would just suffer through life with the name of Barbara Landon, I guess.
You'd not be worth it to you, huh?
Yes, I'm not going to get a sex change. Are you nuts? Why? I'm perfectly happy being a guy.
Yeah, but a lot of the masculine identity that you enjoy, Mr. Henry, would be stripped away from you, and that would be because of these computer hackers. You'd have a legal case, you'd have a civil case, you'd have a criminal case, there'd be a lot of cases that you'd be able to put on them, and that's not even talking yet about the amount of damages that you'd want.
Wait, hold on for a minute, because you guys are getting way ahead of yourselves here. I don't know that I would ever be able to sue these guys. If they took my name and they compromised my, just by the fact that they went into a computer illegally and grabbed my name, I got a civil action against them. Are you crazy? I don't have to wait to have a sex change operation. I have to change my name to Barbara Landon, which I still do not understand that at all. You know, I mean, that's something that you guys just cooked up.
No, sir, we did not cook it up. It's a computer that we use here at Bradley Military Academy. For when we learn surveillance and we learn about using computers for a dissemination of disinformation as well as, for instance, alternating identities. No, it's something that we do use. And
okay, so it's something that you do use. So what we have here is my name is taken, and what you recommend is that I get my name changed, I get my credit cards changed, I move.
Yes, sir, you'd have to, because you have your place of residence has been compromised.
And where do you suggest I move to?
Well, I'm... I mean, we don't know where you live now, but let's say you live...
I live near the ocean.
All right, then you would have to move probably inland, probably to an arid locale, a desert of some kind. You want to go to the opposite of where you live, so it would have to be underground. What's that? You would probably have to utilize some mine or some underground dwelling.
Hold on, man, hold on, because this is not going to happen. You know,
Phil is not going to live underground. You guys, you know, you're going to have to take something else in school besides this computer hacking defense or whatever it is, because you guys are strictly from hunger.
Well, I can tell you guys are laughing there.
Well, why would we not laugh, RC? You got me changing my name to Barbara Landon and living underground.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Well, that's another guy that... we got more people hanging up on us, you know.
But you're not taking a guy serious.
I'm not going to take the guy serious when he tells me to change my name to Barbara Landon and move to a mine shaft because some guy in Britain hacked into a computer, got a hold of my name, got a hold of my address. What, Robert?
Well, what are you going to do, man? If a guy got your name, he's going to compromise his security and everything like that.
You can cure a lot of problems by changing your credit card number. If the guy's got your personal address, I personally, you know, I got a nice, you know, I got no problem. I'm very, very confident with my 12-gauge shotgun and the spray radius on that on the shot coming out of that thing. Yes, I'd have to put in a new door, but somebody would have to put in a new head. So I'm totally happy with that.
Well, I mean, Phil, really, if somebody wanted to get you...
Somebody wants to get me, they're going to get me. You know, I'm not worried about that. I'm not moving, is what I'm trying to say. I'm not moving. You know, and I'm not changing my name to Barbara Landon, either.
Yeah, but that is a good chance to survive.
Oh, get out of here, will you? If you're so freaked out about your own personal safety and survival, you're changing your name to Barbara Landon and living in a mine shaft.
You laugh about it now.
Of course I'm laughing about it. The thing you got to worry about, this is the thing you got to worry about. You got to worry about whether this guy has got your credit cards, whether this guy has got your identity in terms of your driver's license. These are the things that you have to replace. And these are the things that you have to make, for instance, your attorney aware of. You need to make the DMV and whoever you're dealing with aware of this this reality. I would make sure that the fact that your identity was... or at least your personal information was compromised, I would make that very readily known to a great many people that are important to people that should know it. Attorneys should know these things. Anybody you're doing business with should know these things. All of your credit card companies should know these things. The DMV should know these things. This is what you do. Move and change my name to Barbara Landon.
Well, why would he say that?
I don't know. He says it's something that he's got a computer that figures this stuff out. Steve Bozell coming up next. And, Bud, we want to hear from you, too, as well, on the game on Sunday, the game between the Washington Redskins and the Denver Broncos. A couple of things happened that Steve wants to explain, wants to apologize for, wants to... What?
He's got nothing to apologize for. It's stuff that done got did to us.
That done got did to you?
I mean, that was done to us. Sorry.
You know, if there's one thing that I want before all is said and done, before I waltz off this mortal coil, man, and that's what you speak in some English that... is a heck of a lot better than the English that you speak right now, my brother. All right, Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Get a backstage pass. Join us online. You got a free download, man, to get a BSP between now and the end of the month. World famous Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Steve Bozell is up with us from yesterday's game, the game of the week, the Washington Redskins and the Denver Broncos, and a game it was. Quite a ball game with all kinds of twists and turns, and one that involved dramatic changing of leads in that football game to the point where the Broncos, who were down 21-7, eventually won the ball game, Steve. But there were some concerns that you had, and we were trying to find a part of the game where you pointed this out. But I know it was right after the sack of Robert Griffin, correct?
Yes, sir. That's absolutely correct. Robert Griffin got sacked 3 times in the ball game by the Denver Broncos, and wasn't a pleasant afternoon for him. But as he got sacked the last time, as I mentioned to you earlier, I noticed as his legs went up in the air, he was pretty well. And I'll try to avoid, to Ms. Gray, who's here, I'll try to avoid using the word squish because she took such great exception to it.
Well, I took exception to it, Steve, because I thought the word squished was not a very accurate or adult or descriptive word.
Yes, ma'am. I'll take that under advisement. Thank you. Wow.
Well, I'm not trying to embarrass you.
Well, ma'am, I would submit to you that you did. I said squished, and I thought that was a good word, but now you're telling me no? Okay, fine.
All right, well, so just what happened?
Well, what happened was he got squished, but I'm not supposed to say that, so...
You can say anything you want. Use any word you want, and there will be no criticism.
Okay, so you guys have changed your policy on that?
I don't want to argue with you about it, Mr. Bozell. If you want to say he got squished down, which is what you had said originally...
Yes, he did, sir. He got... that's what it looked like to me. He went back to pass, and in comes Knighton or the Denver line, and he squished him down. And his legs went up in the air as he got squished. As he got squished... And
as he got squished, see, this is...
Okay. You know, it's all I can take, right? I'm right on the edge. I'm right on the edge of just losing it. I've been close to tears all night.
All right, sir. It's everything's fine. He got squished down. Go ahead.
You're trying to talk me through this, huh?
No, I want to get to the point here, which was that he was wearing pink boots.
Yes. As his legs went up in the air, I saw a flash of pink, and then I realized that's what's been causing the problems tonight. He's been made a target by the pink boot that he has to wear. Now, I don't know if they got together at the Breast Cancer Foundation of America and decided they're going to have a big fat laugh and get pro football players to put on a pink little pink outfits and stuff and watch the fun begin. I don't know, but I think that it does make quarterbacks that wear the pink a target for defensive players who already hold nothing but the most, just the most rotten, the rottenest of thoughts, and they just, it's rotten to the core what they want to do to these men who play quarterback.
Well, this is a very interesting point. When you say that they were looking to be sadistic at the Breast Cancer Awareness Foundation, I thought it was very creative. And it was, as well, a sort of a play, if you will, on the whole testosterone, the testosterone-fueled sport of professional football. I thought the players and the teams were having a little bit of fun with their own image.
That's exactly how I view it. It's the players and the teams having some fun with their image as bad boys, as tough guys. They're wearing pink. That's supposed to be something that, you know, men don't wear. And there are the NFL players in solidarity with the women who suffer from this disease, who suffer from this condition, who've had breast cancer, who are survivors, who are undergoing treatment now, or wherever they are along that path, that the players are saying, we are in support of these women. Some of them are our wives, some of them are our mothers, some of them are our daughters. And, we'll wear pink, and we're very, very happy to do that.
And Mr. Henry, there's no one that would be more supportive of that in the world than me, were it not for the fact that while the man's out there saying, hey, I'm wearing pink, I'm in support and solidarity, and what does he get for his trouble? He gets a big 6'8", 320, 330-pound behemoth of a human, someone who is barely human from my standpoint on account of just the size of these. And I mean, I'm being facetious, but here comes something that he might as well have stepped right off the plat. He might as well have just stepped right off the ramp that Plateau had just been on. And, you know, Plateau come down, now come down defensive end for the Denver Broncos, now come down another Plateau.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the gigantic robot that came down the ramp.
The gigantic robot that came down the ramp.
Did you ever see the Klaatu?
Yeah, it was Klaatu.
I know Klaatu was the giant. Oh, the day the Earth stood still?
The day the Earth, not the day the Earth stuttered. That's
gave you a stutter. Yow!
Easy. The day the Earth stood still?
Yeah, the day the Earth stood still. That was a gigantic robot. Well, that robot that they had in the day the Earth stood still, that's about the size of the man that come in to the backfield of the Washington Redskins, just came in pretty as you please, just waltzed right in pretty as you please, and said, oh, I think I'm going to take this quarterback, and I'm going to hurt him bad. And he did.
Well, we don't know how bad he was hurt. I understand that I saw after the game some people are saying that Kirk Cousins is now the starting quarterback. I don't know if he's out for the season. I will definitely apprise myself of that. But
well, Mr. Henry, they were serious enough to bring in this backup quarterback, Kirk Cousins, who went in there and basically just gave it, just went ahead and gave it to the pooch in ways that was a smiling pooch, I'll tell you.
Wait, hold on for a minute, man. That's a guy that comes off the bench, did the best he could. What do you mean, gave it to the pooch? That guy was trying to help his team off the bench in a terrible football game that his team's getting their asses beat. His quarterback's gone out injured. That's a tough situation.
Well, it may be a tough situation, but a tougher situation is to be a guy wearing pink and having a big guy come in on you. And Mr. Ennett, was not an easy game for me. You know, I was calling that game. That's another the number two thing I wanted to bring up.
Now, we're going to get to that in a minute, but I just want to settle this whole idea once and for all of the pink making them a target. Has anybody approached the National Football League with this belief?
I do not know.
Are you going to?
I would very much like to. I'm going to fire off a telegram to Commissioner Chris. I don't even know what's his name.
He's Commissioner...
The Commissioner of the NFL?
Yeah.
It's that guy. What's his name?
I don't know.
That hard ass.
Well, what's his name?
I don't know. Margaret?
I don't know what his name is.
Well, he's a real hard ass, and he fines players, so maybe he'll... I don't know why I usually know the names of the commissioners of the NFL, but... Goodall, is that his name?
You mean the monkey lady?
What do you mean the monkey lady?
Well, who was the lady that knew the chimpanzees?
Margaret Mead?
No. Jane Goodall.
That ain't... Well, Jane, that's a woman, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that ain't the commissioner of the NFL.
All right.
I ought to hang up on you, Bozell. You know, the number of times you hang up on me, I ought to hang up on you for being so freaking dumb.
You are pretty dumb, Bozell.
Hey, I'll take it from Henry, but not from you. I'll take it from Henry because I got to, but from you, I ain't going to take it. You understand that? Henry, yes. You, no. Henry,
yes, we get it. You'll take it from me, but not from him. Okay, so what did you want to say to this lady in Boulder?
The lady in Boulder, Colorado, Kathleen Bernern, or I'm sorry, I got that name, Kathleen Benubi. Kathleen Benubi, B-E-N-E-B-E. She says it's Benubi, so I don't know.
Okay.
She heard me use the phrase that the Denver Broncos were able to work it into the end zone lickety-split. Now, those are my exact words. When she heard that phrase, she fired off a telegram to me, Western Union. It got to my house after the game.
Your house?
Well, I mean the office, I should say. It didn't go to my house, but went to the office, the Henry Radio office, after the game ended. But she fired it off, Western Union.
Wait a minute. She didn't send you an email?
No, she sent me a telegram.
Sent you a telegram? Wow.
Why didn't she send an email?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people send telegrams.
Not anymore. I mean, it's usually unless they want to reach somebody who is otherwise they're not able to reach. It's usually email. Anyway, what did it say?
It said, I'm very disappointed in your play-by-play. You talking about spitting on your hand and working it in. Sincerely, Kathleen Benubi.
Read that again.
Dear Mr. Bozell, I'm very disappointed by your announcing this afternoon, you spitting on your hand and working it in. Sincerely, Benubi.
Well, did she give her first name?
No, just says Benubi.
Well, how do you know what her first name is?
Well, she said it was Kathleen when I talked to her later.
Oh, you talked to her?
Yes, sir, I did. I did. I called her up. I didn't mention that. I called her up.
Oh, okay. And what did you say to her?
Well, I said that I was disappointed in myself, and I suggested that she wanted to talk more about it. She said, well, yeah, she done did. And I said, well, you know, how about over a cocktail? And she said, that sounds pretty good to me. I said, I could you know, so I'm going to talk. She's a listener. I'm not trying to pick her up. She's got a husband and kids and everything. So, if he's listening, I just want her husband to know I would never try to pick your wife up.
Did she say yes?
Yeah, she did say yes. So I would say to the husband, she did say yes, in case you wanted to beat me up. I mean,
You're actually giving more information here than we need, Steve. I think it's enough to say that you're going to discuss with her her concerns about whatever it is she thought she heard.
Yeah, and whatever else is going on, we don't need to know about it.
Well, okay, but we're going to meet, you know, when she flies into L.A. Well, she's flying into L.A. anyway. She says she's got to come into L.A. to go see Disneyland or something. I don't know. And
she's got to come into L.A. to go see Disneyland?
Yes, sir.
So she's got to.
She said that she had to, yeah.
Why?
Because she wants to go. She's a tourist. What do you mean?
Why does she got to come to L.A.?
Because she's got to see Disneyland. That's the way she said it.
So she's going to come to L.A. because she's got to see Disneyland.
Yeah, she said, I got to go to Disneyland, so as long as I'm in town, let's have a cocktail. Do you know any bars in around Disneyland? I said, yeah, I know a couple. I mean, I kind of laughed because the ones I know around Disneyland, I wouldn't exactly take a lady to them, but hey, you know. Well, I mean, I'm trying to give you the information you need, Mr. Henry.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks a lot, Steve. Good luck.
Okay.
What's the matter with that?
There's nothing the matter. He's an idiot, and he's going to get himself killed. That's what's the matter with that. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're coming back here with our final segment on the program. Reminder that we're online at philhenryshow.com. Bobby Dooley's podcast, some big things coming up in the days ahead. Bobby is going to be interviewing Dana Gould, a great comic, as well as the Sklar brothers. And, you know, her podcast is a weekly now. So it's a daily, I should say. So each and every day, there is a brand spanking new podcast out from Bobby Dooley. I suggest you check it out on the Sideshow Network or at philhenryshow.com and enjoy. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Show here, and we're going to go out tonight with a Lou Reed song. I hadn't thought about doing it because generally, if someone has passed on who we admire and respect, who is a musician, we'll play a song from them as we close the show or something relevant if it happened on the day of the broadcast. But Lou Reed passed on this past weekend, so I didn't think of it till Matt mentioned it, so we will go out with a Lou Reed song, and that doesn't give us a whole lot of time here. Margaret, do you have any...
Yes, I'd just like everyone to remember my fan page, which is facebook.com/Margaret Gray or facebook.com/Margaret Gray Fans. I don't know the name of the fan page. What is it?
Well, I thought it's called the Margaret Gray Fan Club or something.
Yes, it's the Margaret Gray Fan Club. And I was posting there the different clubs that I sing at on the weekends. I was at the Ham Hock. Frank has booked me into some toilets, so, you know.
Yeah, what's the Ham Hock?
It's a dump. That's all you need to know. But I do post my set list, and I'm going to post the set list that I would have had this past weekend.
Did you not play anywhere this past weekend?
No, I did not. I told Frank that I wanted to take a weekend off from these toilets that he was booking me into. And I said to him, you book me into one more crap can and have a care. You'll rue the day that your mother and your father ever discovered something called, not sex, but the kind of sex that they practiced, which was...
Okay, I don't want to know about anything like that. So, all right, so in other words, you didn't have your gig last weekend.
I didn't have the gig, but I want everyone to know that our fan page is there at Facebook, and my friend page is there as well.
Okay, and you're also on, Margaret, you're on Twitter, and Bud, you're on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, twitter.com/TheBudDickman. That's TheBudDickman.
And Robert, are you...
No, man, I don't do any of that.
Robert doesn't do social media, which I don't get. I think it's very weird of you, Robert, not to do, you know...
Social media? I don't think so. Robert, my hat's off to you. My beret is off to you tonight for not doing social media. Because if I had a choice, I wouldn't do it either. It is absolutely the most time-consuming, psychotic, weird. It's just, it's a weird environment. I mean, I've met a lot of people, and I've made a lot of friends. There's no question. But there is also an aspect to it that's just, it's just like, I don't know how to describe it, man. It's not very comfortable.
And now that you've said that and done that and insulted everyone, what is your Twitter account?
My Twitter account is twitter.com/realphilhenry. Here's Lou Reed. Good night, everyone. See you tomorrow night.